Hello and welcome to Movie Theater Time Machine, the podcast where we keep it real to real. Hey, today we go into the Miyazaki big classic here, My Neighbor Totoro.
Which, ironically, until a couple days ago, neither Joss or I had actually seen.
Really?
Yeah.
We were aware of it, like we knew kind of what happened, but we hadn't actually seen it.
And here's the thing that I thought of. I wasn't aware of it till we saw it as well, but I was aware of it because of the massive Hot Topic margin that I've gone through.
I knew all about Totoro, like the character. And seen the merch and everything.
But we just hadn't actually seen it.
Pictures and memes of, you know, the favorite, people's favorite is
the umbrella thing. It's the symbol of Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Yep.
Plus, you know, and Cat Bus. Everybody knows about a Cat Bus.
Cat Bus has balls.
It's in the public cognition.
About cats
turning into vehicles.
Cat Bus has balls. Just to say that, because I looked that up and I'm like, okay, I cannot unsee that now.
You're welcome.
My Neighbor Totoro. My Neighbor Totoro, or The Cat Bus Solves Your Problems.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much, man.
The first time we saw it was... last week, because we accidentally watched the wrong movie.
It happens.
It's okay.
I gotta tell one of the stories. I told you guys this, but I gotta tell it for the listeners. Is I had a, earlier in the day, you know, I teach on Saturdays. I teach a variety of different classes as a personal trainer and karate teacher. And I was teaching an aero karate class, and they asked me if we could use a lot of Taylor Swift stuff. I had some young kids, so I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. Use a couple songs. Are no harm done, harmless, no worries. And I watched this movie, and I'm like, okay, I really need a good night's sleep anyway. So I took part of a gummy, and then I had a dream that we all went to a Taylor Swift concert. But the effects of this movie came into my head, and Taylor Swift was a potato. And... You know,
because sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's just Taylor Swift's real name was Tater Swift.
I love the fact that her name is Tater Swift.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking Tater Swift, and more or less when I think about this dream on my way to recording this episode, I'm thinking Tater Swift and like fantasy casting like Tomato from Cars or something. Like, you know, like we were going to hey. And, you know, then, like, Tater Swift, or, like, the music's playing, but it's just a potato on stage. And it is there, and everybody's screaming and cheering, and I'm like, it's a fucking potato.
Shake it off, and she turned into fries.
It just... A friend of the show and really good friend, Jessica, actually saw she were texting each other, and she said, just like, everything spun her out after that point. I'm like, that's why I love you, kid. That's why I love you. And, you know, so I did that. I'm like, what the hell? And then it started, and it turned into this from My Neighbor Totoro, is when Totoro does this really guttural scream and wakes up.
Yep.
And the potato woke up, like, and I'm like, what?
Why does the potato have teeth?
Yeah, I'm like, what? And I wake up, I'm like, the fuck was that?
That's what you call fever dream.
I consider. I mean, considering how I was last week, we were recording the episode. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, that happened in my sleep. I should have learned better. I should have known.
That doesn't sound like a bad dream. It just sounds like a weird dream.
No, but it's just like, what the fuck? I mean, like, you know, and I'm thinking about all this and reading about the themes of this movie and, you know, things. I looked at it at first. I'm like, okay, you know, like Miyazaki, I know, has this thing where some of the themes are kind of depressing. And
some of them, yeah.
And, you know, and I...
Blah, 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 environment, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's more...
Humans are bad.
That's more like... Mononoke and Nausicaa from last week.
And Pompoko and, you know, and things like that. Like, oh, people are bad. And,
now
you know,
that was cartoon balls.
Yeah. Holy God, you're right. Yeah.
And Disney was not prepared.
No.
They just referred to them as pouches. And only the new town.
Yeah.
Because we all know Tanukis have pouches.
Right. Yeah.
They're regular marsupials.
And they turn into statues, too. Wait, hold on. That's a different thing.
Tanuki Mario?
Yeah.
Yes.
Turns into a Jizo statue?
Oh, man. But this movie, I mean, the themes of this one, I mean, where you had this, and I'm looking at it, Studio Ghibli was actually really in financial trouble. And Miyazaki presented this movie and the ideas, and they liked it, but it wasn't going to be something that would be sold. And they said, well, we're going to have a tough time. And they used the budget of Grave of the Fireflies and rolled it in and said, okay, you can make these movies, you know, at the same time, but roll it out as a double feature.
Mm. Oh, God.
And, yeah.
Oh, God, that must have... Oh.
Yeah,
I hope that Grave of the Fireflies was first.
It was.
Because
that'd be a real rough way to finish off your double feature. Everyone just walks out depressed.
Yeah. Well, that was why this movie has a very slow theme at first. Mm-hmm. And there was a podcast on YouTube, Wisecrack, that went through this and went, what? Because they watched both of them and said, okay, because... You're dealing with Grave of the Fireflies where kids die, and you know, of starvation and the aftermath of the bombs.
It's heavy, it's heavy, heavy themed.
Yeah, and then you do this, and then you go into, okay, in the late 50s where they're trying to rebuild and you redo things, and you get some hefty themes here, and some of the stuff like the mom in the hospital.
Yeah, that actually got me hard.
Yeah, I would say with you, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. I cried.
I was wondering, okay, do you want to bet whether she lives or dies?
Because we're
expecting it.
The whole time I'm like, we got Disney mom syndrome. Mom syndrome.
Well, at first I thought, when the movie first started and you don't see a mom, my first thought was, oh, fuck, she's dead. Mm. Like, all right, we're starting with single dad, no mom, and then we find out mom's in the hospital, and I'm like, oh, mom's alive. Oh, shit, she's got a huge forehead. Mom's alive.
That's,
oh, like, God,
that's where five head. Yeah. That's where Satsuki got hers.
Right? And then I was like, oh, fuck. And
she's got the consumption.
Then mom's going to, it felt like mom was going to die.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hell. Oh, no, not mom death. I can't deal with
this. And then Satsuki starts kind of breaking over, like, what happens if she dies?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, and it's like, oh, we've taken a turn in this movie.
Yeah, and what I thought was going to happen was I thought it was going to be a whole flashback.
Mm.
Like, to the tune of, like, Edward Scissorhands or something, like, you know, like an older woman.
Made out of a cookie?
Well, no, but an older woman telling the story to her children, you know, about something and then looking back and like about the time when it was revealed that her mom died way before and that was all hallucination.
Right.
Because stuff like Totoro and, you know, the dancing at midnight for the trees to grow and, you know, the trees and all the other stuff in the house and the weird little black speck demons.
The soot sprites.
Okay, soot sprites,
they
show up again.
Mm-hmm.
You will see them again.
Oh, it for sure, I get that. But it's like, I thought all this would have been like a coping hallucination.
Right.
You know, through all of it, or just to pretend to deal with the fact of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought that was like, okay, I thought this was like, this was probably going to be May's way of doing, you know, of dealing with all this.
Yeah.
Oh, I walked into the woods, fell down a hole, and met this giant cat.
I made a new friend.
Yeah.
This cat rabbit thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and this giant cat, you don't like that, you know? Or?
You don't like cats or rabbits.
Yeah.
This cat rabbit thing that was that was voiced by Megatron.
Yeah. You're right, yeah.
Frank Welker, yet
yeah. Again. Yeah, and, you know, when I looked at it, and I looked at the, you know, because we watched the one with the Disney dub.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That had, yeah, it had all these, and with it's
that Ellen Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, the sisters Fanning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, with Tim Daly as the father, Pat Carroll, Leah Salonga, Frank Welker, and Paul Butcher. And, yeah, and Frank Welker, I'm like, yeah, Frank Welker's doing this. You know,
he's animal voices.
Yeah, and I even called it. I'm like, yeah, that's, so, yeah, I didn't even look at my phone. I was really trying to just pay attention to this.
Yeah.
And looked at it. I'm like, oh, this is Frank Welker.
Mm-hmm.
This is Frank Welker. It's just, there's so much to it.
And that was it. Paul Butcher is Kenta, the neighborhood kind of kid.
Yeah.
And he sounds so much like Aang from Last Avatar.
He does. Like, Avatar the Last Airbender, yeah.
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 He does quite a bit.
Yeah, I did like that character too, because he's like,
your house is haunted. Runs away.
Yeah. Yeah, really, especially where they're like walking in the rain and he's like trying to be nice and like, like holding out the umbrella.
He's being such a boy. It was one of those, like, I shouldn't say it like that, but if you ever had a neighbor growing up who, I don't know, in my, when I was growing up, I had neighbors who were like, girls are dumb.
But then
would still play. It was like, that's what he reminded me of. This movie honestly took me back to certain areas of my childhood that I was not ready for. So I was like,
I could see your point with that, yeah.
Well, okay.
See, I love the house.
It was a little bit different, I think, for you guys, because neither one of you have a younger sibling. Dan and I both have a younger sibling.
Yeah.
And my younger sibling is about the same distance in age between...
About 6 years.
Well, the two of them... 6 years
is me and my sister.
Him and his sister.
Mm. You guys are like three.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, the gap isn't huge.
Yeah.
And so... It's one of those things where it's like your sibling is with you all the time.
Yeah.
Like that child is stuck to your hip.
And they follow you around.
They follow you around and copy your sense of humor. Yes,
they like, to this day, you will catch bits of my sense of humor coming out of my sister.
Because
it's just how it is.
I over the years, I have noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas, like...
Yeah.
But with the two of them especially, like, I asked him, I'm like, didn't you ever go just on a random... like, adventure in the woods where you, like, made shit up because you're like, I'm going on an adventure and we're going to go kill the dragon. And
yeah.
I had a secret fort in an abandoned lot maybe a block and a half from where Allie is living now.
Where he grew up.
It is. Yeah. It's no longer an abandoned lot. There's a house there now. they took my hiding place.
The point is that... It took me back to those days where I used to, you know, hang out with a couple of my friends in somebody's backyard that didn't actually have a fence and there was like woods and stuff in the back and we'd just go back there and play.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of. And it brought me back to those times where your parents didn't want you in the house because, you know, we're older millennials. So our parents just kicked us out and locked the door.
Right.
Like that's...
Like, come back when the street lights
come
on.
You're on your own. Remember, they had commercials.
Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? There was a reason for
because
these commercials.
Didn't.
No, exactly.
That was more of a 70s thing.
No, was the 80s.
No. And 80s, early 90s. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Then the adults would have to stop and go, oh shit, you have a point.
Where are my kids?
Yeah, and my usually
I stayed out after night.
Yeah,
I did all the time.
Yeah,
you never played manhunt with flashlights.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is like the best.
That like tag.
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't do that.
It's like tag, but you're running full speed through the dark and trying not to get like tackled by people.
Yeah.
And there's usually a group of people after you. You're the hider, and there are like 87 people that are sneaking you. That's manhunt, baby.
Yeah. I remember I had one, and you just unlock something. I
core memory
really
unlocked.
Forgot about. But we had a little thing, and I didn't really travel that far. My parents didn't really like us going that far out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I would go a few blocks down to a friend's house, back or forth, or we would just all play in my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short version on that, like, the street I grew up on was very much at a decline.
Mm-hmm.
And it leveled off right in front of my house, so most games could be played in my driveway pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this little thing in the back of the shed. There was this little thing. My dad tried to make a little garden thing and then just said, screw it, and put a bunch of rocks there. And
it was my backyard.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, he just put a bunch of rocks in a place to put a car that he was working on occasionally. Mm-hmm. So we would just have this like little fort thing. And then just play basketball nearby when we didn't even have a hoop. And, you know, like, oh, yeah, 1 point. Wait, the basket's over there. No, the basket's over there. Oh, okay. You know,
who made that rule? I did.
Yeah, the basket's moving.
It's like playing baseball in the neighborhood. It's like, yeah, that hubcap is third base.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. You know, just playing with that. And this movie does remind me of that. And especially, like, when they go into the house for the first time. And
I love that. Honestly, that house is awesome.
It is kind of cool.
That house is pretty awesome.
Yeah, with the conifer tree and things and this beautiful little area and this little, like, apparently there's...
I just love the fact they can't find the stairs.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're on a mission to go find the stairs to the second floor.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No, it's just, I love it, the fact that they open a door and there's just a set of stairs there. She's like, I found the stairs!
And then they have, like, the coolest attic room. It's just like, I would claim that room. That'd be mine.
Right.
This is Japan. Everybody sleeps in the same room.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if it's still the same now.
Certain areas, yeah. I mean, depending on, you know, remember, housing sucks doesn't no matter where you are.
True.
And a lot of... a lot of apartments and stuff, they don't have separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
It's all like the living room has a closet where you keep your futon. And at the end of the day, you move the table aside and you put your futon down in the middle of the room and you sleep there.
Huh.
They have a kitchen, a bathroom, and the main room, and that's it.
Yeah. I don't know why this is reminding me, like a very local reference reminding me of Lizzie Borden House.
Mm.
Yeah. A Lizzie Borden house was built because Andrew Borden did not believe in any privacy, so every room goes into the other room.
Yeah.
So, open floor plan.
Not really.
Let's see, this apartment's a little bit like that. We don't really have a hallway. All the rooms are connected to each other.
This is an old school
place. Yeah.
See a door there.
But you do have doors that can shut off, you know.
Lizzie Borden house, there's no hallways.
Right.
It's like all the rooms like open into each other.
Right, yeah, exactly. Similar
to like what we have here, because this isn't technically a hallway.
Yeah,
it's a roomway.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's a Gordon Shumway.
Yeah.
You could have like a table all the way to the front door.
You could
like,
bowl in this
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you could. Yeah.
You really could.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of that, like, we had,
neighbors might not like it, but we could.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I think we had it, like, it was the anniversary of the time of recording this when we did a movie theater Time Machine Plays. And I think you got up and you realized, like, how long? Oh, my God, this house is really long.
Yeah.
The camera's that way. We're walking out, like, damn, wow.
This is probably around the early time when we moved in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, you're like, his house is really long. I'm looking at a camera. I think Dan walked all the way to the front door like, hi.
Every now and then I'll still kind of stop and like look around. It's like, shit, I live here.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, this house, yeah, it's generally really, you know, in the movie here, this house is cool too. But, you have a... You know, you have Satsuki and Mei, who are with their...
Satsuki.
And Tatsuko, who is their father, who's a professor in... a university professor, who they're coming into this archaeology. Old house.
He's a university professor of archaeology, which means he's kind of Japanese Indiana Jones, I suppose.
Yeah.
But nothing happens.
Yeah.
You see, I think it would have made more sense if he was a botanist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or...
Because he knows all about the trees and stuff.
He's looking up... It looks like he's researching plants and other things in the area.
There's a shrine nearby, so...
Well, we're coming up with continuity things to connect everything, because when we first saw the soot sprites, they show up again in... Spirited Away.
Yeah.
So we're like, wait a minute, are those actually soot sprites? And then they, you know, the eyes pop open. It's like, it is them.
It is a soot sprite. And then of course I looked it up, and I was like, nope, they're actually calling them soot sprite. Okay, this is connected somewhere.
Then we start making connections, and we're like, okay, hold on. If this is the Ghibli verse.
Yeah.
If Dad's a botanist, he's trying to stop the pollution hellscape that was Nausicaa.
Yeah.
And like Nausicaa's 1,000 years in the future, so he fails. But we're just going through all this list of stuff that could connect the movies.
There is a fan theory that all the movies in the Ghibliverse are connected.
Save for Howl's Moving Castle.
Gotta be. Universe. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's basically they're saying, well, here's the deal. It's like a lot of the you'll notice it when we watch Howl. Yeah. When you see the airships and stuff, they look exactly like the airships from Nausicaa.
Mm.
And it's gotta be though. Pocoroso is a lot of airplanes. Stuff, right?
Yeah,
and that's a lot has the same aesthetic. There's definitely a Miyazaki vibe. I want to say Toriyama because I'm still sad about Akira Toriyama.
Akira Toriyama has sadly passed away.
Yeah.
That dates this episode.
Yeah.
It's like, rest in peace.
Yeah, true. True. And when you
have... Somebody get him a sensu bean.
Yeah.
Dragon Balls be the Dragon Balls.
When you have this, you have the house here that has the small, dark, dust-like house spirits here called the Sutuwatari, or the Makuru Kurosaki. Which is loosely meaning pitch black, pitch black dust, or soot spirits, or the dust bunnies.
Yeah.
And then you meet the grandma.
Oh,
who, neighbor grandma. Who I want to hang out with. I want to hang out with. And this is not a fantasy casting, but I kind of wondered what if it was fantasy casting if we had your grandma Barbara in there.
What?
Yeah, just like
because it was, she's like.
It would totally twist it around there. Because they don't.
You asshole.
Yeah, right. You moved into this area.
There'd be a lot of cobwebs.
The cobwebs
and peanut butter cups.
That's right.
This doesn't sound so bad, honestly.
Yeah, no.
Grandma's great.
Yeah, but when you said this little grandma, they're like, oh,
so
those are... Yeah, right.
She sounds like my grandma.
Yeah.
Oh,
if you add Sprite to that.
She was smoking?
Yeah.
No, she quit. My grandmother quit smoking when my brother and I were about 3 or 4 years old. Mm.
What about...
Well, no, because there's a story there.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to love to say that she quit smoking as soon as I was born.
Yeah.
It was something she would brag about.
Yeah.
And then I found a picture of me being about 3 or 4 years old with my grandmother sitting there with a cigarette hanging out of her hand.
Yeah.
And I put... It's like this is a full-blown, like, you know... old school picture where you had to go and get it developed.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of faded in a weird magenta.
I still have it somewhere in this house. But I like threw it at her and I was like, so Hilda, you quit smoking when I was born, huh? and she was like, of course I did. And then I threw it at her and she was just like, I don't know where you found this picture, but we need to get rid of it.
This is some shenaniganry. How dare you?
I have to say, though, before everyone keeps moving on, in the subreddit for black cats, that's one of the nicknames people like to give their cats is soot sprites.
Really?
The other one you see a lot is voids.
Void I knew.
The void demands tuna.
Yes. So I'm like, oh, that's what, okay. That's
sometimes what when you into the void back.
I was thinking about my cats, and I want to go see them.
Even though
they're annoying.
Yeah, but it's like, I thought of it, because I thought of your grandma right away. It was like, she would make friends with these, with the spirits right away.
Would she?
Yeah, like, she had that, she's like, oh yeah, that's like, or, you know, I remember her talking about, you know, how she would see pennies somewhere, or like rooms she wouldn't go into. And you know, she's been gone for a long time, but I mean, still, it's always made me laugh. But she would just be like, oh yeah, those are the soot sprites, okay. You know, like, this is that.
Lady cats?
They were here first, so you should respect them.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, this grandma comes and says that, oh yeah, they'll go away when humans move in. I'm like, is this your humans' bad environmental message?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Well, the humans are going to come in and the soot sprites are going to fuck off from their native habitat.
Well,
because the humans encroached on their property.
Well,
but the humans built it first.
Yeah.
So it's not really encroaching on their property. They encroached on this one first.
It's tiny Mononoke.
Yeah. Right. And here's one of the things that got me in general is I was thinking about it. And when they started talking about it, okay, you had the mom was in the hospital for the long-term illness. This is the early 50s.
Oh, so we have a date on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, 58.
We dug it up.
We did see one of those weird old-timey phones.
Yeah.
But there were also, like, some cars.
Yeah, and, you know, where a lot of it is in rebuild. And when I looked and I found, okay, this is in universe with Grave of the Fireflies.
Mm-hmm.
And the long-term illness is the effects of the bomb.
See, I was thinking more of the consumption.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but it's still you know, that, right. that was one of the things that came about.
Tuberculosis?
Yeah, that came, you know, it came about from that over long periods of time.
Because they never said what her illness was.
Yeah.
They No, I was, but, in my head, I'm like, yeah. She's got the consumption.
Yeah. Well, she has
Disney mom disease.
But not, you know, not from that, but like, there, those were some of the things that came about from effects over effects over effects because there was a lot of host of problems, but that is one of those that lasted until like the 60s. Mm. And, you know, it still has it, and very few people, as I understand, still talk about it. But there was, my point is there was, like, you see the after effects, okay, they've got to move somewhere, they've got to get into it. And it seemed like the only housing were these wooded areas. And as I remember, Tokyo and other areas after the war, you know, in many areas of Japan, had to completely rebuild almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a teacher that, you know, we became friendly with from high school who did this tour of Japan, you know, said that, you know, it built up so rapidly that you had to have maps and you had to have, you know, we have maps on our phones now, but you had to have, what the hell you call them, those...
atlases?
No, like TomTom.
Or GPS.
You know, yeah, you. Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't think of that. But you had to have some GPS system just to get around because things were built so bizarrely.
Mm.
Garmin, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
I found my old dead Garmin yesterday.
No shit, really?
From like 2003.
No kidding.
Before or something, yeah.
Yeah, but the where you had all the... where you had that, yeah, there seemed like, you know, they had to build this house. They had to build this house in an area that was protected. Or at least they, you know, or they're
nearby at any rate.
Yeah, or nearby, but they had to like this was more recent, quick build, and there was, and I'm noticing that this whole neighborhood was very sparse.
It's rural.
Well, yeah. it's there are rice paddies everywhere. Yeah. They're growing rice,
right.
And they're growing corn.
Yeah.
So you need wide open spaces that are, that can hold wetness
right.
in order to do this. So
yeah.
it's I'm not sure which area, which prefecture outside of Tokyo
yeah.
would have something like that, even if it even does anymore. Yeah.
Well, you saw some of those when you went there.
Oh, yeah. I took pictures of the, yeah. They're like nice and shiny water terrace things.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. I'm kind of... After watching this movie, I feel kind of sad living in a crummy city.
Yeah.
That's one thing about this movie is the color and everything else in it is very pretty.
Yeah, and then you just feel bad for living in a crappy city.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm an adult now. I don't have imaginative play except for video games.
We can show you Shibuya, and then you can be like, this is what parts of Japan look like now.
Apparently it was set in Saitama Prefecture, the Sayama Hills.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. So I,
yeah.
When they said that it was 3 hours outside of Japan, outside of Tokyo, I knew that it wasn't that far, especially if you could walk it in 3 hours.
Right.
So it wasn't, it wasn't that far out of Tokyo proper.
Yeah, and apparently this is based on a real place, too, because the wiki page has pictures of the Satsuki and Mei's house, and they have a close-up view, too, and it actually looks kind of neat, actually. It's like a place I could probably hang out with.
Yes.
And you know, in this part here, so...
I just got to say, overall, don't expect much of a plot. Until maybe the last 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and it's a slow roll.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where not very much happens, and that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was very much a slice of life.
Yes. Yeah.
You know...
Like there's
kids blooming in at the very beginning of the coming of age.
There's no villain, there's no bad guy.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. Like the movie to
the
me
the closest thing to a bad guy is when Kenta makes a face at the
right.
Kids.
Yeah,
that's about it.
The whole thing just I told it. It became kind of like one of those that I would have no problems putting on in the background is like just a comforting little like. Oh, look, it's at this point, you know, it's like, oh, this is when Mei finds Totoro or, look, this is when, you know, the two of them are running around in the backyard screaming their heads off at each other. It's great.
Or when Mei comes up and puts the flowers on the desk, like, you be the flower store. That's so fucking cute. And that's our niece.
It's one of my nieces. Yeah. Yeah,
she would do that. It's like, here, now you're the store.
Yeah,
and then run away.
Or I was thinking of your little cousin. Huh? From Thanksgiving, we should woke one up. And, you're in jail.
Oh, my cousin's kid.
Yeah,
my cousin's grandkid. Oh God. I'm yeah.
the, yeah. Don't feel too bad.
No, it's like, you're in jail, and she would like take this balloon and start beating people over the head. And of course, I'm the only one, the childless one, would take the balloon and start beating her over the head. And then,
like, I did those karate blocks you taught me
a long time ago. Yeah. And I'm moving there, like, okay, fine.
But it really does kind of catch, like, a kid who's, like, 4 or 5 years old, which May is 4.
Yeah.
You know, it's you kind of catch that, like, that's the exact kind of energy a 4-year old has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's. They got that right. It's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, it's dead on. And I remember doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I do too. Or I remember my brother doing stuff like that because I'm the older one.
Yeah.
So, so I'm the one going to school.
Yeah.
So be good for grandma.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then going to school and then getting the crying.
Yeah.
You won't stop crying because you left.
Oh, God,
that,
yeah.
See, so I was like, yeah, I have that.
Like, May came back in the middle of the, later in the movie, and I'm like, okay, is this go time? Is mom dead? No, wait, she just missed her sister.
She just missed her sister, but
come on, is something gonna happen?
Yeah.
But that's just, like, for me anyway, that hit really close to home because it's like, I've had that.
Yeah.
I've lived it. So it's one of those, like, oh, that really resonated because I have a younger sibling who pulled this shit.
Yeah, you're unlocking a core memory. Wow.
Yes, that's why a lot of this, when I watched it, I was like, there's not a lot of differences in child rearing between this age and the age I grew up in.
Yeah.
So now, it's in this world.
Kick him out the house, lock the door behind him, and, you know, come back for dinner.
Let the kids, you know, oh, I'm doing this over here. The kids can go into the forest.
Yeah.
And play. And dad doesn't look up for 8 hours.
Right.
You know? It's...
Yeah, and they find that the spirits that lead to the camphor tree... And
camphor some kind of fuel? That sounds familiar. Like something you'd put in a...
You know, I thought something similar.
Hey, like kerosene?
Yeah, I think it is like that. I mean, a camphor tree is usually largely known as a place where butterflies usually hang around. And it is there as medicinally actually used in the production and shipment of camphor in a solid waxy form, a major industry in Taiwan prior to Japanese colonial era, used medicinally and also important ingredients in smokeless gunpowder and celluloid.
Huh, interesting.
So yeah, there is a bit to it, yeah.
Okay, I just also wanted to say the whole, hey, last 30 to 20 minutes, bam, plot. That was just like, the Tarantino movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, God,
like right at the end, they're like, oh, shit, wait, we needed a plot.
Yeah.
This was a build-up to something, guys.
It's true, too. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood takes a long time of you showing everything. And you know,
it's just kind
of
like...
Yeah, it's stuff what, happens.
Okay,
yeah,
what is this? What is this?
Yeah. And it's a very nostalgia trip. You're right. Well, at least my dad was.
Basically, My Neighbor Totoro and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood are like the same movie.
One's a little bit more violent, but
Okay, so one has some righteous killing at the end, but...
and the other one has a cat bus.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Cat bus has balls. Yeah, and then the cat buzz, and we'll get to that in a moment, but to your point where they do run out, where they meet the spirits, lead her to the hollow tree, and befriending Totoro, running through this little narrow passage, seeing what's on the other side, and then jumping, you know, falling down and landing on Totoro. And Totoro just wanting to sleep. And
he's like, I'm taking a nap. Yeah,
And I've done that a few times. Something's woke me up. I'm like, one of the cats woke me up. And I'm like, what the...
So you don't wake up with a chihuahua on your chest?
Yeah, like, what the fuck do you want? What? So, like, you know, and then just falling back asleep and then we're Dororo.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That had a scary yelling.
Yeah. Like,
thanks, Frank Welker.
Yeah, Totoro is very growly, but he's like a very friendly forest spirit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was even lower pitched than the Iron Giant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I would rather listen to the Iron Giant. Super.
Damn it.
How we got each other, man. But when, you know, May thinks Totoro's a troll from the book Three Billy Goats Gruff, which is a Norwegian story. I didn't look too much into it, but...
You've never read Three Billy Goats Gruff?
Is there a troll involved?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a troll on a bridge.
I don't remember too much.
Yeah, I possibly did. It just doesn't ring.
It's a troll bridge.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Troll.
I honestly don't remember. I know that somebody one of them does get eaten.
Yeah.
Actually.
It's like the third goat tricks the troll or something. Like the first one gets eaten, second one runs, and the third one tricks it or something. I don't remember exactly
what happens. I just know that it was one of those like three Billy goats. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the tale of the three brothers.
I'm sorry, that goat was terrifying.
Okay, now this is starting to come back to my real knocking weird memories in my brain this episode. Wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to your childhood. These are not bad memories.
No, they're not.
That's why I think this movie made me so calm.
Yeah.
Because I was like, these memories that I'm having of it are not bad. They're just
You know what? It does present the childhood or things, and you're like, okay,
when you're outside and you're imagining you're exploring some kind of
exactly.
place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of friends with you, and you're like, we're going on an adventure, and this is a magical land, and there's four spirits, and it's breeding your imagination.
Yeah,
and that's a lot.
And I could see as an adult, too, when you're looking at it going, okay, yeah, I remember doing that. Yeah.
That's just it. It's like
a feeling, and I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like, did you ever carve your name into your initials into a tree?
No.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I drew on one with a crayon.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We etched. I mean, there's probably a tree somewhere in this area, if it hasn't been cut down, with my initials and a couple of friends' initials, like, etched into it.
Yeah, I think I do have a few. There was one that, I remember that. Yeah, damn.
It's stuff like that. That's the memories that this movie kind of unlocked for me.
Yeah, and just remembering those little things that were not, you know, that and didn't that, make childhood that bad at all.
They weren't important. Yeah. They weren't. They weren't something that your core gonna make. I remember this specific thing at this specific time.
Yeah.
No, it's just like. Very, very nostalgic sort of, I remember doing this with my friends, or I remember going on adventures or picnics.
And those are things that are good to remember because it's like someone like me who, I had some areas of my childhood that were really, really dark.
Yeah, mine too.
You know, and really bad, so I mean, you could easily overtake you and go, oh my god, this was, you know, I had a real shit childhood. And then you look at it and go, you know what? No, it wasn't all bad.
Every now and then you need a movie like this to be like, not all of my childhood memories are trauma.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Not everything was bad, too.
I mean, something bad happens to the girls in this movie, you know?
Yeah.
And they deal with a little bit of trauma inside this, you know, environment where they can, you know, express themselves a lot and everything else, but they're still dealing with real world problems.
And then Cat Bus.
Yeah.
But then Cat Bus comes and saves the day.
Yeah, Cat Bus. Okay, Cat Bus appears here with the, when they're waiting for the bus for their dad to show up. And
raining.
Then,
That part is a little depressing, too, because you gotta think you've got these two girls.
Yeah.
No older than 12, the oldest.
In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere, and dad has to take a bus from work home, and the bus is there at a certain time. But if something happens, and dad's in Tokyo, which again is a 3-hour walk, they have no way of getting to know any of this happens. They don't have phone lines, and the only thing they can do is send a telegram.
Yeah,
and not at that time of day. So if dad's going to be late,
They just gotta wait it out.
These kids are not gonna know.
He's got no way of telling them, really.
Yeah. And that's rough, man. That's rough. I'm sorry to anybody who had to live that way.
I do remember some of those times where, like, my dad would come home late and there was a snowstorm or something, and he would drive for a parts company.
Right.
You know, for auto parts, and then, you know, come home, or he'd have to come home in a storm, but there was no way of calling.
Right, we didn't know cell phones. Or
something would happen, and then I remember my mom sitting there, just, you know, sitting there and staring at the door.
Right, because that just made me go, oh.
Yeah.
These poor kids, they have no idea. That's why when Totoro shows up there, it's a nice little...
It's a reprieve.
Breakaway. Yeah, it's like, okay, you're stressing about dad. Yeah. And suddenly there's this giant cat, owl, rabbit thing sitting next to me. With a leaf over his head, out his hat.
Is that your umbrella?
Yeah,
there's a kind of sort of plot about an umbrella.
Yeah.
I love, okay, so the first umbrella is from, what the hell's his name?
Kenta.
Yeah. Kenta, who needs new pants.
Yeah.
Kenta needs new pants. And why is he always wearing a captain's hat?
Because it's cool.
He's got different colored ones, too.
Yeah. Right,
it's his thing, you know?
Yeah.
But you've got Kenta, who's sharing his umbrella with this little girl that he obviously likes.
Yeah. Girls are dumb.
Yeah. But it's one of those, like,
you can't even talk to her. He makes his faces like...
Come on.
He makes faces at her.
Grunts.
But then he helps her. And then when she shows up at his house, he gets all, like, shy and hidey about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, doesn't want to tell his mom that he did something nice for this girl, but at the same time is super proud of himself for doing something nice for this girl.
Didn't he tell her that he'd left it at school?
That's what he told his mom.
Yeah.
Until she showed up with the umbrella and returned it to him.
But he hands her this broken-ass umbrella and runs home.
And it's still better than what she had.
Right, and there's no problem with this.
Early, yeah.
Then she has, I love the fact they have three umbrellas in the scene. Oh. They have Kenta's umbrella that they give back to him. They've got the umbrella that they're using, and then they have Dad's umbrella.
That's the orangey one?
The orangey one was the one that they were using.
Oh.
The black one is Dad's. That's the one that Totoro ends up taking.
Well, I guess he has it now.
I guess his leaf hat wasn't working out.
It wasn't, so she gives the umbrella, and the scene where Totoro hears the raindrop hit the umbrella for the first time.
Oh, and then he's just like, what's that?
Like, what is that? So he roars so loud that it makes all the water droplets from the trees fall onto it.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary sound.
It is a very scary sound, but at the same time, it's one of those, this is new. It's cute.
It's absolutely something I would do too. It's just like going to make the big noise.
And that's when Catbus shows up.
Yeah, Catbus is just superly bizarre, unexplainable. But I like in that scene where you have like Mei falling asleep on Satsuki.
Mm-hmm. On Satsuki's shoulders.
Yeah, and Satsuki just kind of like, it's like, okay, and then like, okay, trying to comfort her, and then. But then when Totoro's a dude, when he's dancing around and just making, like...
He's
bouncing around to make the leaves, like, the leaves send the water down a little bit faster or anything. He's like, oh, I think I could play. Like, you know, but then giving her
getting Big the Cat vibes.
Right.
Sonic Adventure.
Hey, guys.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, or the...
Ironically enough, that he was voiced by John St. John. I mentioned him last week. He's a voice actor. He was also the voice of Duke Nukem.
Satsuki, that scene just makes me go, that chick is strong.
Yeah.
Because have you ever held dead weight for a long time on your back?
Yeah. I have, yeah. Like
40 pounds of dead weight on your back.
Yeah.
You get tired real quick. And she's still holding her for a while. Yeah. So it's like
Chino's falling asleep in your arms.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
This is 10 pounds of dead weight. This is not 40 and it's not on my back.
This is 10 pounds of freeloader. Yeah.
And you know, when he's like when he gives the nuts and seeds in return, here you go.
All over the place in this movie.
Yeah.
The kids get super excited over random acorns. They're fucking shiny acorns.
Yeah.
super shiny.
Yeah.
Because I kept seeing, to date it, I guess, I kept seeing those memes about cops and acorns. I had to send
one. Oh, God, yeah.
And then I started the Danny DeVito.
Then I started blasting.
Yes, because of that fucking Florida acorn cop story. I was just thinking of that. I was laughing. At least these children don't have guns, so they can't start blasting and get startled by acorns. They're just like, oh my god, acorns, that's the best thing ever. What is wrong with
it? Okay. Well, I mean, it's like when I was a kid, I would collect rocks and just find random rocks and
stuff. Yeah, but rocks are cool patterns.
I collected pine cones and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and any different shade of rock. Like, if you ever went to the beach and just picked up random colored rocks, and my mom would be like, it's a rock. I'd be like, but look at the colors. And she'd be like, it's a rock, put it back.
But it's a cool
You don't
mom.
Need it. And I'd be like, mom! You don't understand.
Exactly.
I collect a lot of shit. Coins, Tamagotchi.
Yeah, I still
rocks,
do. If we go somewhere, like if we went to St. John, and I just grabbed a bunch of seashells, you know, and stuck them in my work bag for a while. And, you know, I said, okay, I'm just gonna carry this with me for a little while and stuff. And I still do that. And you know, I think that was the same thing with the acorn. It's like, I got an acorn. You know, like, look what I got a thing.
You got about, I have a pocket full of acorns. You know, it's like, you do that when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Pocket full of acorns and a head full of dreams.
Well, again, this is another Spirited Away thing, but the scene where the acorn is, like, bouncing down the stairs, you will see something very, very similar in Spirited Away with gold. I guarantee you somewhere down the line you'll find out this movie is attached to Spirited Away because there's so much
I think I saw Spirited Away back in high school.
Spirited Away is fucking beautiful. That is a beautiful,
I remember I don't remember much of it. I remember that in Princess Mononoke, and I remember being really entranced by the animation. And really, we did see Spirited Away, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. And this one, I remember those things. It reminds me of the comedian Brian Regan, who has this beautiful joke to explain some things. Just like, you're trying to explain adults to kids, and explain kids to adults. And he said, you have this thing, and people are like, oh, wow, I lost this. Kids are like, I lost this rock. Oh, no, or a balloon floats away. Oh my god, I lost that balloon. No, we can get you another one. So imagine if suddenly your wallet starts floating away. Oh no, my wallet's floating. My wallet, don't worry, we can get you another one.
Yeah, but that wallet's got credit cards and shit you gotta cancel.
Exactly. It's a thing. It's very different from a balloon.
But it's still... That's what it feels like as a kid, though. It's like, that's my whole life right there, and it's flying away from me.
Right. I've been enjoying this thing, and things are going away. I've
not to a balloon, but it could be anything. It's like a teddy bear, or...
Yeah. I still have my teddy bears almost 40 years old.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, if when you're 8 years old, and you have this teddy bear, and you bring this teddy bear with you everywhere, and you leave it in the bathroom of an airport, and then you make the airport security go looking for it, I'm not telling this story as something that actually happened. and that you almost missed your plane because you couldn't find your teddy bear. Like, these are things that, you know, stick with a child, but that's why it's so important to that kid, the same way that your wallet is.
You don't want a Toy Story 3 on your hands.
No. That was a hard movie.
A movie that made my husband cry in the theater.
I'm not gonna deny it. I cried like a little bitch.
I did too. Yeah,
it's the incinerator scene was just
too much.
Yeah,
you already know. I can't leave a single stuffed animal by itself on a shelf.
Right,
it comes home with me.
Yeah,
if I see a single stuffed animal on a shelf, I feel bad for it, and I must purchase it.
And over a long time with our friendship, I've become that same way.
Because you look at that stuffed animal, and you go, it's all by itself. It's home.
It has a face. Shut up, brain. I don't want if you primitive brain facial recognition.
You guys have seen, there are little stuffed animals all over this house.
I brought a few over.
There are reasons for them.
Yeah. I tuck my teddy bear in sometimes after I get up.
That's my point, is that that feeling when you're a kid, multiply that by 10.
Yeah.
And that's a kid losing something.
Yeah, and there are things that happen as you're a kid in your imagination, and these are things that made me think this was a coping mechanism, you know, or some things.
You're going too deep to it.
Oh, I know I'm going deep into it, but... I'm glad it
didn't turn out to be all...
Right, yeah. I was actually quite glad that it was just a slice of life.
Me too, it ended but up no.
Like, we can't fully call it a happy ending, it was a good ending.
They're okay, yeah.
You know, everybody's thing, okay.
Yeah, but like things are all right, yeah. You know. But when you see it, it's like the point where it's is when Cat Bus shows up.
Right.
For the first time, and then, you know, Totoro taking the Cat Bus, and the Cat Bus expanding.
And then you're wondering, the Cat Bus, this is this cat's body?
It's like, come and sit on my organs, it's fine.
I had thoughts of the cat, you know, trying to clean himself.
Or, you know, it goes through the cat wash.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what's up with, are they mice, glowing mice, or mice
for,
holding?
For the lights is what, it looks like mice holding lights on the front and back as,
are
like, brake lights and like, turn
to
signals.
The cat, or are they hanging on?
They're, like hanging on to the fur for dear life.
Okay, because I couldn't get a good view of it, and I'm like, are they duct taped onto the cat?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
It's going to hurt both of them taking it off.
Yeah.
I hope the mice get, some days off.
Yeah. And when you see this, but the night scene when they have the ceremonial dance.
Oh, because the kids were upset that the acorns they planted weren't growing.
And yeah.
Was it grandma who said they should have sprouted or something?
I've done this.
You've had a magical nighttime dance.
I planted stuff, and my grandparents were teaching me how to, how to garden and the joys of doing that and passing that on. And we ever have the ability to do that on a large scale, I would love to do that.
And just checking on the seedlings like every 30 seconds, like,
exactly,
come on, bro.
Exactly. Like, we planted that, and, you know, like, there's now, knowing what I know now, they probably threw a Miracle-Gro down when I wasn't looking or went to the bathroom, or something like that. But I remember these pumpkins grew that they were absolutely, we have a video of it somewhere, my grandfather cutting one of the pumpkins from the root, holding it up, and then falling on it. And I thought that was so funny for years. Like, you know, just, you know,
that is funny.
Yeah, but he grabbed it and fell on it. But he never let go of his cigarette too. What is this shit? Oh my god! Like, you know, like,
it's the sign of the times.
Yeah, you know, and
that's the 80s agility. You never don't spill your drink. You never drop your cigarette.
Right, and you know, but I was doing this and like reading about it, and I was getting involved with the martial arts at that time, and I'm like, oh, maybe if I'm one with nature and started doing a kata around these around these plants and around that, and my grandma sitting on the patio looking, going, what the frick is he doing? And let him go. Like,
that boy ain't David. Right.
Yeah. Oh, what the hell? I don't know.
Right.
You know, when they join in and the tree starts sprouting and it's beautiful, I'm like, okay, now we're getting
like,
the point.
Are you telling me Dad isn't noticing this?
Right, yeah. Dad's just dead asleep, just being a dad, being a 50s
he
dad.
He was awake. Yeah. He was awake in the room doing more research. The light was on.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
You didn't see a fucking tree just grow inside of you. Yeah. But that's kind of when you start to realize that, wonder if it's a vision, a dream, or like adults
magic.
Can't see this.
Because
later on, when the cat bus shows up and is driving through, nobody can see it but the kids.
Right,
no one notices that it's, you know, just bounding through town and like jumping off a car, like car roofs and shit, and no one sees it.
And I kind of wonder with the bus.
The tree. Oh god, exhaust pipe. Cat bus have an exhaust pipe.
Same as any cat.
Because the next day the big giant oak trees are gone. But the seeds sprouted. So
there's something there. Yeah,
I just think it's sort of telling us, it's like, okay, it changed to this overnight. So is this just the spirits having fun and playing games?
Right.
Is this?
I thought it was the spirits trying to give them hope.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning on too.
like trying to give them hope because they're like, oh, they're upset. They're doing that and they're going through enough things. And like, reminded me of our episode with Harvey, you know, where like Harvey meets Elwood P. Dowd and, you know, tries to skirt around with them at first and like, I kind of like you. All right, I'm going to screw around with other people with you. Like, you know, and then, but it just reminded me of this kind of spirit who just like, okay, let's see, let's make this all happen. And just, it's going to give a little bit. It's like, okay, something's working or something's right in this little girl's lives. You know, because everything is just, you know.
It's obviously like they're having a hard time.
Yeah, I leaned on that. But something I thought of was, if just kidding, Rowling took inspiration from this for the wizard bus.
For the night bus?
Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I had the exact, in fact, I said it to him.
Yeah.
I was like, look, this you know, it feels like the night bus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, nobody else can see this car driving through rice paddies and shit. Nobody notices this. And then I was like, oh, this bit's a little familiar, isn't it?
It is the wizard night bus. It's like a
basic idea, though.
Yeah. But it seems.
Magic that no one else can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still. It's like, okay, this huge thing is going through their lands and they can't see anything.
Yeah.
Hey, what if Cat Bus is related to the Dumb and Dumber car?
Oh, dear Lord. The dog
car?
The groomer. The groomer van, if that's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I traded the van in for this really sweet moped.
You can get 50 miles to the gallon on this hog.
Yeah.
Every time I think you can't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this and completely redeem yourself.
Yeah, there's, go back and look, I interviewed the writer of the movie. That was actually a really, really, really funny guy.
Yeah.
I'm
not even really a fan of Jim Carrey, but I love Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand that movie.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's an absolute great movie. The second one's funny, too.
So, that's why he gets stuck together with frozen pee on the motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really warm.
I can't.
That's why I was bugged on the pass back there. I'm not really hungry.
I get it. So back with the movie here.
You also don't appreciate the glory that is the rejected cartoon movie.
I do not.
Yeah.
I do not.
No, so the girls discover that a planned visit for their mother has been postponed because of a setback in her treatment.
She had a cold.
She caught a cold on top of whatever else she has.
And apparently the last time she caught a cold, that's when her illness started.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently she was really bad.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah.
We do see her somewhere earlier in the movie when the kids visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh,
yeah, and the kids bring in a drawing or something like that.
Yeah.
Talking about Totoro.
Yeah.
And then this is May as a crab.
Yeah. Okay, that's funny.
She has a giant cartoon frog mouth. I just gotta say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they have Miyazaki hair, which reacts to their emotions.
Something I love.
Goosebumps.
Hair, but the goosebumps go up into the hair through the follicles and make the hair stick. That's a Miyazaki thing I fucking love.
And it
follows in every movie.
Yeah.
There's a scene where, you know, like a wet drop falls on the back of your neck when you're thinking that you're dry, and you get that shiver up your spine. That's exactly what that looks like.
Literally hair raising.
Yes.
Yeah. And it goes, and with Miyazaki characters, it goes like straight through their hair too.
Yeah, that's I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh. I love it too. I absolutely adore it.
It's little stuff like that just makes me really appreciate this, especially this type of movie, because it's just so basic.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's not boring. It's just sweet. Right. It's sweet.
Yeah.
Nothing much happens, and that's okay.
But
it's like a slice of life. You don't really, it's just a fun little glimpse.
Now, here's the part that got me, is I had hit me in the past where, there was a period of time when my grandfather on my mom's side was dying, and I wasn't really aware of it for a while, and he was in and out of the hospital, and like looking back at it, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it made sense, and I'm like, why aren't we bringing Papa Soup? You know, or something.
Soup fixes everything.
Exactly. And my grandma had this soup that she made that, you know, that was always something that, you know, if you were sick, you went over, got a bowl of soup, and you felt better the next day.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather used to make very much the same.
Yeah.
He made chicken and rice soup that had the consistency of wallpaper paste.
Yeah.
But it was great. And I loved it.
Yeah. And you had that. And there's this beautiful part where May is realizing, like, oh my God, mom's not coming home. I got to bring her corn to get better.
The corn will heal her. It'll make her healthy because what Granny told her while they were cooking. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
These vegetables will make her feel better when she eats them.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what the brown hairy thing, the brown toupee hanging out of the corn was.
That's the thing that happens.
They're shrilled.
It's like fibrous bits that like... I don't know what they are necessarily for.
Corn smut? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
It just kept thinking of like a ponytail.
I thought corn smut was sweet lahote, the infected corn.
It might be something that protects the corn if anything gets in it, because there are a lot of
bugs.
A lot of bugs, and a lot of things like certain plants or like root vegetables will form flowers around it to protect from animals coming around.
Oh, corn smut is a disease.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking with that, like, that might have been it. But then bringing the corn out, she takes off and wants to bring the corn to her mom, but gets lost on the way.
Yeah.
And I remember having dreams about that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it. I'm going to go to Grandma and Papa's house in Little Compton. And I'm going to go to the hospital with a bowl of soup. But not realizing what A to B was and knowing, like, little landmarks along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, or, like, when she goes by on her bike and gets lost and has to, like, backtrack to figure out things.
Oh, and, corn silk.
Yeah, and, you know, when she leaves to take the corn here, gets lost, and May's disappearance prompts her older sister and the rest of the neighbors to search for her, thinking that she died because they found her shoe somewhere.
That part was slightly terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were all of a sudden, oh, drama.
Yeah. Mm. And suddenly it's like, can't find this little girl, and then you find a pink sandal.
Yeah.
In the water.
It's a 3-hour walk to the hospital.
Yep.
Yeah.
And maybe she's on her way there.
But so far, everyone they've talked to hasn't seen her.
Yeah.
And it's just... Again, that scene is just slightly terrifying.
Yeah.
Because all in my head, now granted, I was thinking Grave of the Fireflies when I was watching this for some reason, because I kept going, oh God, please don't let that be her shoe and suddenly we have a dead child whose spirit is going to end up in the woods. Like, that's where my brain is going.
Yeah.
And that's not what ends up happening. And it's actually, you know, it's a relief that when she's found, but it's still like, for like... 5 minutes, you're anxious about what the hell is going to happen to this little girl.
It's like a search party.
I agree with you. I'm like, okay, is she okay? Or what's happening here? Here, they look at it and try to find her, and I wouldn't put it past Miyazaki or any of these to show it to that kid either.
And Dan was like, oh, great. So granted, May's fine, but who's dead kid sandals did you just find?
Yeah.
Maybe it just...
It's not hers. Oh, it's just another dead child.
It's right. Says it's a dead kid. Maybe it just got kicked in there and the other one's hanging on a
See, my thought was... my thought was like, oh, you know, some kid from the neighborhood like left their shoes by like the shore and one of them like went away or something.
Yeah.
That's... My brain went to innocent places and his was like, there's another dead kid. And I'm like, don't do that.
I went to a few places, and I remember times where I would, like, we're on a car drive. I think we were going to New Hampshire, and I was really young, and I just tossed my shoe out the window. And my dad pulled the side, like,
Nick,
yeah,
why?
Yeah, oh. But, like, my dad saw me do it in the rearview mirror, and he just and pulled aside on the highway, went and grabbed the shoe. And then just put it back, and I tossed the shoe right back out. I'm like, hey.
You are that kid.
Yeah, well, in spurts, you know.
Wasn't that the opening to the remake of Wicker Man?
I think so, yeah.
Except
yeah, I think so, because then when I saw that, it was something,
Don't start the Wicker Man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, please don't.
The movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here's your dolly doll. Yeah. And then the, Satsuki. Okay, I'm reading it here and I keep wanting
to. It looks like Sasuke.
Yeah, I keep wanting to do a different Satsuki. Okay, gotcha. But, we're there, which is summons Totoro, pleads for help, and then he summons Catbus.
Just think Mei screaming, Satsuki!
Yeah. I remember it now here, but when they summon that and you see Catbus has balls, and you're like, oh, God. And then, and then they get to her location, and then what in my head, I'm like, okay, Catbus has different type of GPS, and then goes through stuff.
Did you see what it went through, though?
Yeah.
It went through...
through trees.
No. When it shows the destination on its forehead, it goes cemetery, shrine, mom.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, this better not be symbolism.
Yeah.
Because the cat bus solves your problem.
Right.
No, but my brain just went, it's symbolism of
cemetery.
Nope. Shrine. Yeah. Like, I was going, no, don't let this be symbolism and that mom's in the afterlife or something.
Yeah, there is a, that's a fair point, because I realized when I saw that was the part that wasn't, it didn't have any dub on that.
If you watch it on HBO Max, it does.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's why I'm like,
deeper for me. Yeah,
I went. You went deep in one area. I went deep in another.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. Perfect, Fox. Perfect.
Beautiful.
So they find May and the sisters reunite, and the bus takes them to the hospital. And this is night bus. Well, from Harry Potter. They learn the mother's okay, and she's been kept to the hospital because of a minor cold, but she's fine.
Dad's visiting, I think?
Dad's there visiting.
Well, so before they find out that mom isn't coming home is because they get a telegram. And the telegram basically says, call the hospital.
Right.
And again, we're in rural Japan. They have electricity, but they don't have phones in every house. Sasuke's gonna go.
There's like one phone in the entire town.
And Sasuke's gonna go try to call her father at the university to let him know to call the hospital. So she has to go to this neighbor's house. She's gonna bring her sister because her sister won't stay behind. And that's when sister gets lost because they start following. She goes to this neighbor's house to call, and she has to call the university, wait to be transferred to dad's department.
And the number of the university was a series of numbers that actually has meaning for Joss and I, which freaked us out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you off, Mike. It could be
personal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they call the extension, dad picks up, and then she's like, you have to call the hospital, and dad has to tell her, stay where you are because I'm going to call you back. And they need to know what the extension is to call back because there's no other way of getting around this. And dad never comes home that day.
Right.
He goes directly to the hospital because mom's in a hospital in Tokyo.
Yeah. Right. And it's just... It hits a little hard there because then you realize you're like, okay, some people are not coming home and... I remember that with my grandfather learning that he was never coming home, my ex-brother-in-law was the one that kind of set me right in this, and I know a lot of people were pissed at him, because I just thought, okay, yeah, he'll get better. He'll get better, and then realizing, no, he's not coming home, and then that whole sequence from when they realize is there, it kind of hit me, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And that was pretty deep. But when they leave the corn in the windowsill,
that's really cute.
And I'm like, oh, that's
for mommy.
Just
and they
nice.
Found it, so it really happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I thought I just saw.
Yeah.
Sasuke and Mei.
Up in the tree.
In the tree. And she's like, what?
With a really big squirrel, apparently. Because the cat bus is perched in the tree with them. Because, you know, it's a cat.
And it's curled. That's the thing. Its legs are curled around the back of the tree.
Yeah.
I gotta say, why did Cat Bus and Totoro always have, like, these creepy walled eyes?
Because they're spirits?
Yeah.
I mean, are we supposed to wonder if they're find them kind of creepy and cute at the same time? Like, mysterious beings we don't
understand? They aren't like the four spirits from Mononoke.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. And they learn eventually that their mother's going to come home. They play for a while in the yard in the area, and Totoro and the friends watch from afar and hang out.
Mm-hmm. And they play their little ocarina things.
Yeah.
And the movie
drops.
Fades. The movie fades out.
There's the little stills of the little like comic stills of mom coming home and them sleeping together and them having a bath together and the kids playing. Like, there's just little stills of what happens after, you know, mom comes home and everything seems to be okay.
Yeah.
And it just ends very sweetly and innocently. And like I said, it wasn't bad. It was just nice.
It really got me. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay. And as I said before, it's like, okay, it wasn't all bad when I was a kid.
No.
And when it wasn't all bad, I'm like, all right, there are memories and things I can look back at and be okay. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I was looking back at things going, ooh, like this was a really horrid thing. And
I think Miyazaki did this because if it was like double featured with Grave of the Fireflies, like we need to end this on a good note.
Yeah. And there is a lot of it that, you know, when they were making it, they realized and they knew right up front, but that's why the movie is structured the way it is. Mm. You just see a lot of heaviness and you realize, okay, this is going to change, or let's do this and ease people in, because when they were doing this, there were people who were leaving, you know, and, you know, before My Neighbor Totoro started.
Mm.
And, you know, and then doing that role, I was like, oh my God, what the hell was that? And then, you know,
it's rough, man.
Yeah, and then wanting to do that, so it was like, okay, the colors are a lot brighter, a lot easier to go through, and, you know, I'm looking at them, going, you know, My Neighbor Totoro is probably something you want to bring your kids to.
Right, it's definitely something you can bring your kids to that isn't too heavy, but still has slightly heavy themes.
Right.
Also, naked bath time.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's another thing, too.
Okay, I forgot about that.
So that's a cultural thing.
But it is and it's not, because, I'm sorry, how did you ever have a bath with your mom when you were a kid?
No.
No.
Or with your, like, your parent, well, granted, you don't have siblings that are younger than you, but I used to have bath time with my brother.
Yeah.
A lot growing up. It was not an issue for me.
I knew that was a thing. It just seems kind of weird.
But it is, but it's not. It's completely innocent. They're all just sharing a bath. It's not, they're a family. They're sharing a bath. And honestly, it's probably a good thing for kids to realize that, you know, genitalia is there.
Right.
And that there are some genitalia that's different than yours. It doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with gender, but more of like, hey, look, I have a vagina. You have a penis, so that's what that looks like. And you're not uncomfortable about it.
Yeah.
You know? That bathhouses in Japan are a huge thing, and you're going to see a lot of fucking naked people sitting next to you in this bathhouse. You get over it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that shows, too, is like you're getting over your nudity.
They used to do the
6-hour drawing classes. Right? You get over it.
I just remember when you first told that to your dad.
What, that I had to take life drawing classes?
He was like, wait, I'm paying to see you draw naked people?
Well,
I was so freaked out about the idea in high school, but then in college when I was doing it, I was like, goddamn, 6 hours?
Though? Yeah.
We got a break in the middle. The model's got breaking.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably a good thing, because staying in one position.
Naked.
Naked. I hope they temperature, like, regulate those rooms.
Because otherwise, you're just going to be cold after a while.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they switch poses depending on what exercise you're doing.
But you're still sitting completely still for most of
it. Or standing.
Or standing. Yeah. Okay, that's even worse.
I have no idea how they...
See, if it's cold in the room, people who drew certain parts after others have different proportions. It's cold in here.
I was in the room.
It was a draft. It happens.
I know for me personally, if I sit still too long, I get really cold.
Yeah.
So I know there's that. And then the whole, I can't stand still to save my life.
Yeah.
Like I used to get in trouble all the time because if I was up on stage doing something, I would sway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
And that's what, and to this day, I still do it.
Yeah.
So.
True.
My brain will just bounce all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's an ADHD thing.
Probably.
Yeah.
No. I know that there's a
pattern thing.
It's something that you learn because your balance is off a lot of times when you have ADHD.
Yeah, it's the ADHD sway.
You do that and you end up, like, if you're walking down, say, a hallway and there's something in the way, instead of going around it, a lot of people, the ADHD will actually swerve around it and swerve their body. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I swerve around doorways and things like that. It's just, it's inherent and it's...
I have to do it at work. We have a small office. We're all pretty much on top of each other. So we've gotten real good at dodging each other.
Yeah,
do you ever have the dodge attempt dance?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
Yeah. And,
I don't even know where we're going with this.
No, it's all right. I want to jump in with a few things about the legacy of My Neighbor Totoro. Mm.
Yes, please.
And, you know, as we know, Totoro is the mascot and official logo of Studio Ghibli.
Yep.
Miyazaki actually, this is one of his great milestones because he created a character to the likeness, which is described as Japan's likeness of Winnie the Pooh.
He kind of.
And
that giant cat owl.
Yeah. And Totoro.
I think it's the character more than the actual type of character.
Right.
It's like a Winnie the Pooh-esque mascot. Yeah.
Mm. And Totoro in Asia is more loved than Mickey Mouse, which is deserved.
Totoro's on everything over there.
And, you know, there's even a shrine to Totoro. In Tokyo.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the, you know, so the, according to the Environmental Journal of the Biomeno Totoro here served as a powerful force focused on positive feelings that Japanese people can use in traditional village life. And the film's central character, Totoro, is used as a mascot for the campaign, the Totoro Hometown Fund campaign. Santa Maria Prefecture here, there is the statue, which I just mentioned here. The fund started in 1990 after the film's release and held for auction up till 2008. Miyazaki also additionally uses Totoro as a logo here, and also Totoro makes cameo appearances in Pixar films, such as Toy Story Toy Story 3, but it was not in Toy Story 4 due to licensing problems.
Wasn't there also a Totoro doll on Boo's shelf in Monsters, Inc.?
I think so.
She's got a Nemo doll and she's got the Pixar ball in her room.
Yeah.
But for some I could be wrong. I'm going to have to rewatch Monsters, Inc. Oh, no. What a
problem.
What a horrible thing to say.
What a horrible fate.
Yeah. And lastly, there is a main belt asteroid discovered on New Year's Eve 1994. That is the 10-16-0 Totoro.
Nice.
And here, so in 2013, I'm going to butcher this, Epropatis Totoro, a special velvet worm is discovered in Japan and named after Totoro, following a request of the paper's authors to name the character because it uses many-legged animal and also uses other animals as vehicles.
To get around. They could call it the something-something or other cat bus.
Yeah. but uses other animals like the cat bus to get around.
Okay.
So there we are. So here are that. This was a very, very, very enjoyable.
I thought it was really sweet, and I really liked it, and like I said, it was not something I was expecting. So
yeah, not a whole lot happens, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah,
just it's a cozy movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It is. Yeah.
I've been trying to find the right word for it, like the whole podcast. But yeah, it's cozy.
Yeah. I would say that's a great way to put it.
It's definitely slice of life. It's one of those, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you'll feel a little bit of nostalgia for it. Even, you know, obviously if you grew up before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing is a lot of it didn't change.
Right.
No. Yeah. There's a huge gap between then and now.
I agree with you. I agree.
Whereas it didn't seem like the gap between the 50s and the 80s was as much as it is now.
Agreed. Yeah, the world changed.
At least to us. But people who were living in the 50s, I guarantee you, would turn around and yell at me for what I just said.
Right. So. True. Would you yell at me, Chino?
Chino yells at everybody.
Yeah.
He likes you. He yells. He doesn't like you. I'm sure he also yells.
Alright, so we're going to take a break for ourselves for a moment, and we'll be back with some fantasy casting. And welcome back here. So, My Neighbor Totoro fantasy casting. I had a few ideas.
Okay.
Once upon a time in Hollywood.
Yeah, you're going in my direction, yeah.
Once upon a time inside Cat Bus.
You're going in my direction, yes, because I had that idea that you had Kurt Russell. Yeah, and Kurt Russell as the dad. And it's the voice that would work.
Yeah. Kurt Russell would definitely work. I was thinking Christopher Walken for the dad.
You know what? I like that even better. Because we haven't done
it. No, girls!
Yeah. It's a really good tree.
Yeah.
Slow down. I'm too big. I can't fit through this.
No, I can't do it. But, you know, these are friendly characters.
Oh, look. It's a shrine.
Yeah. These are friendly characters who could go ahead and they can help you. And the spirits, they'll show themselves when they're ready.
We'll bring the corn to Mom tomorrow. I'm getting better at my walking. All right,
that was too good. We'll bring the corn tomorrow.
A whole SNL thing about him recently. That's why I'm going. Oh God.
We'll bring the corn tomorrow, and it's Mom's gonna like it.
It'll make her all better, girls.
All right. So would you have the mom be John Travolta?
Only if she's in, if it's like Edna Turnblad.
Yes. Yeah, right, right, yeah.
Only if, yes.
Yeah. So, this way they'll come to Mama. Yeah. It's really nice.
God. What are you doing to this sweet movie?
I'm just putting in voices here. No.
Voices are.
Yeah.
When you said that, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and you were like, "That's where I'm going." I'm like, "Don't turn this into a Tarantino
that
movie."
Had a little girl in it.
Yeah.
She was given the sort of kind of washed up actor some advice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And also,
something
about a can of beans.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was initially going to go with Leonardo DiCaprio.
So is he?
Yeah, but nobody else in the movie can be over 25.
True. True.
And then when does the Manson family come in? Are they
I'm not going to go down that route.
It's Charlie Manson and his helpful family.
Oh my God.
They're the spirits.
What are we doing? They do the dance and grow the tree, but it's like watered with blood.
Yeah. What have you done? Bring it back. Bring it back. Where did you go? Pig the cat.
So does that mean the...
He just wants to go fishing.
Does the rest of the cast get involved?
Yeah.
He just wants to go fishing and chase the froggy. And poor Amy's trying to get him back, you know, trying to get him to focus. It's like, hey, we're doing a thing here.
The frog.
See, I'm sorry. The only thing I think of right now is Tadpole. holes. Sorry.
Froggy, wow. Wow, you're right.
I just want to see this movie in the perspective of that frog.
Mm.
Oh, yes. The unimpressed frog at the bus stop.
What?
Let's watch the movie through his eyes.
Some rain happened.
Suddenly there's this kid's foot near my face.
God, I'm going back in the mud. And
why did I come out this far?
Yeah.
I'll need to catch the next cat bus.
It's just missing a Michigan J once it leaves.
Ooh, is that magical? Michigan J frog?
Yeah, it's true.
Would he be a forest spirit?
Oh, man. Now you got me thinking, not a fantasy casting thing, but what if all the Looney Tunes characters and Warner Brothers characters were all just, you know, spirits of different forests and different places in America?
Hmm.
You know, like...
Well, Bugs Bunny could be a pooka.
That's like what I'm Harvey, thinking!
And just, he just fucks around with Fudd.
Yeah.
So wait, so all the Looney Tunes characters are Faye?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the Oh, yeah.
How do you think Daffy Duck survives having his beak blown around his head?
Yeah.
How does the Tasmanian devil actually get anywhere?
Right. He's magic.
He's a magic fucking tornado.
Yeah.
Fluffy tornado.
Yeah.
Just that we didn't watch this.
Yeah, right. But it's going on that tangent, I'm thinking, okay, if Bugs Bunny was a fae.
Bugs Bunny is a fae.
Yeah, it just really, like... Or this thing, a great cartoon of that where it's like, Homer Fudd's about ready to shoot him and he takes the double barrel shotgun and just twists it around him and then, you know, he goes to shoot him and then he shoots backwards and Bugs is holding the target.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, you got a great shot! It's like, and Fudd's like, what happened? Oh, man, that's... My Neighbor Totoro, great pick.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Talking about neighbors, I'm just thinking, remember Home Improvement had that neighbor you never saw, Laura Wilson? Yeah, Wilson, yeah. When you say Wilson, I think of the volleyball.
Yeah.
Wilson.
I'm sorry, I thought, hey, Mr. Wilson!
Oh!
Yeah.
So, Dennis the Menace.
That would be May.
Yeah.
Or something. Mm. Well, I don't think she gets into as much mischief.
Mm. I think once she gets a little older, she's going to. Because you could tell that Sasuke's like the older sister, so she's the one in charge and everything else. And then you've got the Hellion little sister.
Yeah.
True. All right, so let's wrap this one up here.
Mm-hmm.
This beautiful, beautiful, wonderful time. Have yourself a wonderful time with it. Share the story anywhere you think you can. And it's always a pleasure, folks. So be good. Take care of yourself. Don't be too good now.
Awesome.